welcome to another episode of TWAT. I'm your guest host, Theotex. Today we'll be talking about CMake. CMake is a cross-platform, open-source make system. It is used to control the software compilation process using simple platform and compiler-independent configuration files. CMake generates native make files and workspaces that can be used in the compiler environment of your choice. CMake is quite sophisticated. It is possible to support complex environments requiring system configuration, preprocessor generation, code generation, and template instantiation. The goals for CMake include the following: develop an open source, cross-platform tool to manage the build process, allow the use of native compilers and systems, simplify the build process, optionally provide a user interface to manage the build system, create an extensible framework, and to grow a self-sustaining community of software users and developers. That is the description and goals from the CMake website. CMake is a great tool for developing C or C++ applications. It is open source and written in C++ with no dependencies. There are a lot of build tools out there, but CMake has an advantage in that it can do both system configuration and makefile generation. It's very easy to learn, efficient to use, powerful in its capabilities, and cross-platform. First, I'm going to go over some background to make sure everyone is on the same page and to show where CMake fits into the scheme of things. Next, I'll give you an overview of how to use CMake from a user's point of view. Then I'll give an overview of how to use CMake from a developer's point of view. And finally, I'm going to touch on some tips and tricks for CMake. Let's start with the background, a reminder of how compiled programs are developed. We start with source code written in a high-level language, such as C++, and our goal is to transform that logic into ones and zeros that can be understood by the computer system we're working on. The first step is to apply a preprocessor program that conditions the source code, patching and modifying code by evaluating pound include or pound define statements and the like. Then the human-readable source code files are transformed into machine-readable object files with the compiler. Finally, the many object files are connected together, and the connections are made to external libraries with the linker. Now, for very small programs with a couple of source code files and maybe a library to link to, it's manageable to send the correct commands to the preprocessor, compiler, and linker. However, beyond trivial projects, things get unmanageable and inefficient quite quickly. As a result, what is known as a make system was created. The make system will send all the correct commands to the basic tools and will also do things such as dependency checking, so that when one piece of source code is changed, only that file and the files that depend on it are recompiled instead of the entire project. In Unix-like systems, the configuration for the make system is stored in what is literally named the make file. While is it possible to write your own make files, and some do, it can be complex and some work, and the syntax is pretty picky. So there have been many tools that have been developed to create make files for you. CMake is one of those tools. In addition to makefile generation, CMake does system configuration, which means it helps finding out what libraries are located where, and what kind of system you're running on, and what kind of features you want the program to have. So how do you use CMake if you're a user that has attained a program that was developed with CMake? CMake is cross-platform, and the same source code can be used whether you are in MS Windows, Linux, BSD, Mac, or Sigwin environments. However, the user interface is slightly different for Windows and the Unix environments. In Windows, there's a GUI window that will pop up for you to do the configuration. In Unix environments, you have the choice of calling CMake, a non-GUI version, or CCMake, which has a nice incurses-like user interface. If you use CCMake, watch out for transparency and other color schemes in your terminal, because I found that that can cause problems. The format is the command CCMake, followed by the path to the root of the source. The build tree will be based at your current directory, so it's possible to do in-source and out-of-source builds. You'll see a list of variables on the left with a field for their values on the right, an info line for each value on the bottom, and instructions at the bottom. Use arrow keys to scroll through the variables and press Enter to edit them. When you're ready, press C to configure. For example, one of the options you picked was to enable a feature. New variables may come up after you configure, such as the path to new libraries that are needed. Therefore, you may need to press configure twice or even three times. Once there are no errors and no more configure options are needed, you'll see that you can press the G to generate at the bottom. Do so and you will have a nice make file and you can make and make install. Note that CMake stores all the variables in a file called csmakecache.txt in the root of the build directory. You can edit this file by hand if you'd like. It has a simple syntax and is well commented. So how do you use CMake if you're a developer? There's only one type of configuration file you will need to worry about as a developer, the cmakelist.txt file. You need a cmakelist.txt file in the root of your source tree. You can also have additional cmakelist.txt in other directories of the source tree by using the add subdirectory command in the cmakelist.txt. CMake will follow through the directory structure, and the results of the commands found in previous cmakelist.txt will be available for cmakelist.txt in deeper directories. So variables can be dereferenced and updated as you go along. However, be wary of making references to what is happening in separate branches of the directory tree. It's okay to reference what is happening higher up in the tree, but referencing other branches may be unstable. Start off by issuing the project command. This will give the Microsoft project file name, but also sets up the name of some built-in variables such as project name underscore source underscore directory dir and project name underscore bin underscore dir. Some commonly included commands are set, include directories, link directories, add executable. I'm not going to bore you with any more details, but the CMake website has a good little Hello World tutorial. All the documentation can be found there and is included with the program. You can find CMake at www.cmake.org. If you're still with me, we'll go through some tips and tricks. Don't try to change compilers after you have done your configuration. It's not going to let you. Changing compilers midway through a project is bad karma, so CMake doesn't let you do that. Try setting the appropriate environment variables or directly changing the cmakecache.txt or putting your cmakelist.txt with the force option. On Unix, you have two options for what are called generators, either the Unix makefile or kdevelop3. The default is Unix makefile, but you can specify kdevelop3 with the -G capital G switch when calling ccmake, and you'll get a Unix make file along with the kdevelop3 IDE integrated development environment project file. The default make file is a pretty color make file that also gives you a rough idea of how far you are along in the build process. It doesn't spit out the full compiler commands unless there's an error. If you want to see all the compiler commands as they are being processed, change the CMake verbose make file variable to on in your CMake cache.txt or put it in your CMake list.txt. So why should you use CMake? It's very powerful. It's easy to learn and to relearn. The syntax requires very little editing of configuration files as you go, so you work very efficiently. It works very fast in configuration. It's cross-platform and open source. Why should you not use CMake? It is only currently set up for C and C++ programs. It's relatively the new kid on the block. It's been around for about 7 years, and is for the most part bug-free and ready for the prime time, but other developers and users might not be as familiar with it. It is included in most Linux distro repositories, but usually is not installed by default. Overall, I highly recommend it. KDE developers are using it for the development of KDE 4, which says a lot. Thanks for listening. I hope you learned something. Thanks to all the twats I enjoyed licking or listening to that inspired this podcast. Stank Dog, Dossman, Dan from TLTS, Spaceman, Droops, and all the others. My name is Thibutex. Have a good one.